Right, my name is Chris Hong, and I'm very happy to be here. However, there is a correction that I need to make on the revised schedule. It says at 10:30 a.m., Dr. C. Hong. I'm not a doctor. I'm only a graduate student. That's why I have this cheat handout to read. And however, the things that I'll be talking about. Maybe elementary to theoretical physicist, maybe not. So, however, I'll try to be clear as possible. And first of all, I'd like to thank the workshop coordinator, Anirvan, for giving me this opportunity to describe the work that I've been doing with together with Dr. John Tyson in understanding this complex molecular mechanism underlying circadian rhythm in fruit flies. And our work is supported by NSF and DARPA. So there will be a couple of redundancies in the slides. So this talk will be about modeling circadian rhythms in Drosophila and potential synergy between theoretical and experimental studies of circadian rhythms. So experimentalists have studied, uncovered the genes, proteins, and molecular interactions that constitute the machinery of circadian rhythms. And the theoreticians have studied for years the conditions and the properties of spontaneous oscillations in biochemical reactions. A union of these approaches is necessary to go to the next stage of understanding, namely understanding realistic models that accurately account for the molecular and physiological characteristics of circadian rhythms. So again, the basic things of a circadian rhythm. So circadian rhythm refers to physiological events which occur with frequency of about 24 hours. And there are four main properties of circadian rhythm. First, they are endogenous, which means that the rhythm continues in the absence of external cues, such as light or temperature, right? And second, they are temperature compensated, which means that the period of endogenous oscillation remains close to 24 hours over a broad range of temperatures, right? And third, the rhythm can be phase shifted by light. If the endogenous oscillator in constant darkness is exposed to a brief pulse of light, the phase of oscillation may advance or delay. And fourth, the endogenous oscillator may entrain to an external periodic signal such as the regular rising and setting of the sun.
Rising and setting of the sun.
Right.
Bright lights way up here.
Yeah, that should be the setting of the sun.
I think you have to
use the dimmer. Okay, I just continue. So this graph represents a sleep episode of a human in constant light. So the graph is double plotted as Jay and Mike indicated, right? So it's double plotted, which basically means that the left half of the graph is a duplicate of the other. And here we have days, successive days presented on the y-axis and hours of each day on the x-axis. And these horizontal bars indicate the time that experimental subject was asleep. And as you can see, his sleeping episodes shifted to the later hours, right? Which indicates that the period, endogenous period of the subject was longer than 24 hours, right? So if the subject had were to have exact 24 hours, all these bars should align in one vertical column. So this graph presents the temperature dependence of endogenous circadian activity rhythm of algae. And clearly, the period of the endogenous rhythm is quite insensitive over this broad range of temperature, right? From 20 degrees Celsius to 35 degrees Celsius. And this is a phase response curve for fruit flies. This is from Pitendry. The fruit flies were entrained to 12-hour light and 12-hour dark cycles, and then they were put into a constant darkness at time zero. At different times during this dark phase, a brief burst of light with specific intensity was given, and then fly's locomotor activities were observed. So the y-axis indicates phase advances and delays, and the x-axis represent the time when the light pulse was given after since last in training pulse. So if a fly sees a pulse of light during late night or early morning, right, fly thinks it overslept, right? And then it sets its clock ahead. So this is phase advance. And on the other hand, if fly sees a burst of light during the early evening, the fly thinks it went to bed too early and sets its clock back. So this is phase advance.
Can you explain to us the periodicity?
Pardon me?
Sorry.
Yes?
Okay, it's just a periodicity. That's
what it is. Periodicity? Okay, should I go on? So, as Mike Young described beforehand, our current knowledge of the molecular basis of circadian rhythm in Drosophila is becoming increasingly complicated. However, everyone seems to agree on that oscillator hinges on a negative feedback loop whereby period protein inhibits its own transcription. So in this schematic diagram, per denotes for period messenger RNAs and proteins, and tim denotes for timeless messenger RNAs and proteins. So per and tim are transcribed and translated into proteins, and these proteins will bind to each other in order to be translocated into the nucleus, and when the per is in the nucleus, it'll bind to this transcription factor, forming an inactive complex. So in this way, nuclear per protein inhibits the transcription of per and tim messages. And in addition, the transcription factor, which is a dimer of the clock and cycle proteins, will form a heterodimer, and it inhibits its own feedbacks. Own transcriptions. So there's another negative feedback loop going on with transcription factors. So with intertwined with this negative feedback loop is a self-amplifying process whereby PER stabilizes itself from degradation by forming dimers. I will talk more about this in later slides. And the mechanism of such complexity with interacting positive and negative feedback loops can exhibit very complex dynamical behaviors. So how are we to understand the dynamical properties of such complex mechanisms? Is it possible to see how such a molecular mechanism gives a rise to the characteristic physiological properties of circadian rhythm? Endogenous, temperature-compensated oscillation that are phase reset by light. So this will be my outline for the rest of the talk, which I will try to tackle the questions that I just raised. We will look at the simple model first, and then propose a new proposal for temperature compensation. Then we will see how this new idea for temperature compensation can be applied to a complex model, and then describe hypothetical molecular mechanism. So in 1999, we proposed a simple model of circadian oscillators based on positive feedback loops rather than negative feedbacks. So we pointed out that per degradation is initiated by this kinase double time, and furthermore, per monomers are good substrates for this phosphorylation, and the dimers are not. So these properties of per and DVT double time imply an autocatalytic effect of per on its own accumulation. Right? As per concentration increases, an even greater fraction of per will be in the form of dimer, which allow it to accumulate even faster. Okay? So in this simple model, right, we can convert the simple model into two ordinary differential equations, one for message and one for protein, right? So here we have synthesis and degradation of proteins, where synthesis of them, where synthesis is inhibited by the negative feedback by this dimer form of the protein. And the protein is synthesized, or the translation efficiency rate by VP, directly dependent on the concentration of message, right? That's the synthesis of protein, and the degradation of protein. And this denotes for the positive feedback in the system, where this degradation rate constant for monomer is significantly larger than the degradation rate of this dimer form. Yes.
Does Kerr actually regulate certain transcription as a homodimer?
Okay. So it's clear that Per has to bind with timeless in order to get into the nucleus. And then Per dissociates in the nucleus and then performs this feedback inhibition. For simplicity, in order to make the simplest model that we can derive from the with the basis of molecular mechanisms, we lump this Per and Tim proteins together, right? So there's no distinction between Per and Tim proteins for this simple model. So we have two equation model with negative and positive feedbacks in the system. So when this model is converted into differential equations, it's easy to find parameter values for which the system oscillates with 24-hour period. So here we plot both messages and proteins in functions of time, right? They cycle. And we could also also plot this in a phase plane because we only have two variables in the system. So this is a phase plane at VP. It's the rate of synthesis of protein, or I could say the translational efficiency of the protein. So this is phase plane at VP equals to 30, and where we plot messenger RNA on the y-axis and the proteins on x-axis. And we can see a stable limit cycle which corresponds to the oscillating period of proteins and messages that we just saw. And we could also plot the NOAC lines for messages and proteins. And the NOAC lines are the balance curves, okay, and where the these protein NOAC line and message NOAC line intersect, we create a steady state which will determine the stability and the behavior of this whole system. So here we have yes.
What's a NOAC line?
Okay, NOAC line is the balance curve. So from the two equations, right, we set each of the equations set to zero, which means that along these NOAC lines, there's no change in rate. So for P NOAC line, it's balance curve for P protein, where it indicates that there's no directional changing in proteins. So it only changes in vertical fashion, right? Only in messages. Same for messenger NOAC line, right? So this is a balance curve for message where along this NERC line, there is only directional variations affecting protein, not in the NERC line. Okay. However, if we are to move into a different region of parameter space, say VP equals to 3 now, then this P NERC line changes. Okay. VP is the translational efficiency of the protein, so it's synthesis of the protein. How fast?
You said it's very easy to find parameters to get 24 hours, so what is the slow process that gets to 24 hours?
So, this oscillator mechanism comes from the positive feedback, from autocatalysis, so there's no time delay negative feedback, rather the delay comes from the positive feedback in the system, where per accumulates itself.
Aren't you effectively either making very low rates of dimerization or very low rates of nuclear entry to arrange a 24-hour cycle?
No, there's no...
Low rate of transcription or low rate of degradation. There must be some...
What is the combination parameter that gives the period of dominance?
Okay. Because the system, obviously you know all the these things about Goodwin model, right? With time delay negative feedback, right? There are strict conditions in order to get the biochemical oscillator, right? With three equations with Goodwin model, you have to suffice this irrational cooperativity, which has to be greater than 8. But here we have two equation model, right? Which makes the biochemical oscillator because in addition to negative feedback, we have this positive feedback in the system, right? And the slow variable in the system is the protein, which creates its own autocatalytic accumulation of itself.
So dimerization rate.
Mm-hmm. Or dimerization is very fast rate here. Maybe you go back to the equations. And then
yes.
You could take the parameters.
Okay, yes. So here, this is fast rate constant, and this is slow rate constant. And this, well, Jp is the Michaelis-Menten constant for saturation, right? So it'll be inactive until this total protein concentration goes a certain level. So that's slow process.
Jp is large.
Not that large, but.
So which combination of parameters? Which ratio of things is roughly 24 hours?
Which rate? You mean the actual values of rate constant?
I think the question, I think it is a very fundamental question.
Sorry.
Why is it 24 hours?
Why is it 24 hours?
So,
I mean,
why is it so long?
Okay.
It says,
sorry, that's what I really meant.
Okay.
And even I understand the question.
Okay.
That seems to be absolutely fundamental.
Yes, yes, I exactly understand the question. However, it's reasonable in a sense. Because in this system of positive and negative feedbacks, it's always possible to get region of multiple steady states and half bifurcation. And it's always possible to be in a region of stable limit cycle. And once you're in the stable limit cycle, you can always rescale this time-dependent parameters to get 24 hours.
Okay, but in the end, there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or so parameters in here.
Right.
Okay, you've given us one inequality between them, the KP1 plus
right.
KP2.
Right.
It's presumably true that some combination of those five parameters is a number of order 24 hours.
Yes.
Combination is it? Which parameter?
Sorry, would you like to?
Yeah, I would like to comment on that.
Yes, please.
Because I think that it is not necessarily true that you only have to pick on two essential parameters.
It's all combination of all these parameters that are working in order to get 24 hours. Okay, it's just the background level of degradation.
But there are no other small large dimensionless numbers except for the ratio of KP1 to KP2.
Right.
In the parameter ratio.
Exactly right, right.
I don't think it might. You're thinking about a relaxation parameter?
No.
Well, but when you ask your question, what.
It's dimensional. Like there's some various things in there with units of time.
I mean, we could talk over the equations later, but
except for the one which comes in from ratios of KP1 to KP2.
I mean, we could talk over this equations and the rate constant later, but
I think we can come back to it.
Yes. I think it'll be better. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Okay. So if we move into different region of parameter space, we get this. We move this Pnock line, and then we get three steady states instead of one steady state, where we have one stable steady state and two unstable steady states. And if we were to follow from arbitrary initial conditions, obviously it gets attracted to the stable steady state, and there is no oscillation in the system. So, let me just go back. So here, what we have done is that we changed parameter values, and then we saw dynamical changes in the system. And we could easily, conveniently plot this in bifurcation diagram, right? Let's assume that we're here at a stable steady state with low VP. And we would like to see how the system changes as VP increases, okay? And we plot the steady state level of perprotein on the y-axis. So that's what we see here. The solid lines represent stable steady states, and dashed lines represent unstable steady state. And where the stability of the system changes is called bifurcation points. Okay? And there is set of node bifurcations, which gives this hysteresis characteristics, which behaves like a switch. Yes. And there's half bifurcation, where it gives a birth of this stable limit cycle oscillation with small amplitude, and then the amplitude enlarges as it goes further away from the bifurcation point. So this, within this region, there's oscillation, stable oscillation period. And the oscillation ends when it comes to contact with the snake bifurcation. So, in order to explain the properties of circadian rhythm with such a model, it is very natural to adopt the limit cycle hypothesis.
This is a homoclinic thing you call the snake?
Yes, it's homoclinic, yes. So period equals to infinite. Yes. It's very natural to adopt this limit cycle hypothesis, right? That we live in this oscillatory region, stable oscillations. So, and we are tempted to choose a value of VP in the region of oscillatory solutions, say around 30, right? So for that value of VP, per protein exicates protein periodic limit cycle oscillations between the maximal and minimal values. And with this hypothesis, that the central system executes limit cycle oscillations automatically accounts for the endogenous nature of the system, their entrainment, and phase response curves. But temperature compensation is a problem. Because in general, the period of this limit cycle oscillation depends sensitively on all the kinetic parameters in the model. And you could change any of these kinetic parameters by a factor of 2, and the period of the oscillator will most likely shift far away from the 24 hours, right? And many years ago, Ruoff showed us how to solve this problem, and he showed us in detail yesterday too, also. So it was a good logic idea, right? The period of the system is dependent on the parameters. And the parameters of the system are dependent on temperatures. So hence, by the chain rule, the derivative of period with respect to temperature is the sum of these many terms, right? Partial derivative of period with respect to parameter, partial derivative of parameter with respect to temperature. And some of these terms will be positive, and some of these terms will be negative. And if the terms cancel out each other, and if the sum is close to zero, then the oscillator is temperature compensated. And by appropriate choice of parameter dependencies on temperatures, it is always possible to satisfy this condition. But it is not robust. It is not robust in a sense that the sum is not likely to be zero in case of mutants, right? Because a mutation would highly likely to disrupt the dependencies of period and parameters values, okay? So when these coefficients change in arbitrary ways, it is highly likely that the sum would not be zero. So then, is there a robust explanation? Okay, so our new proposal for temperature compensation imagines that this Vp is now a variable function, not a constant parameter. For the sake of argument, suppose that Vp is a function of time that starts from an initial condition from the stable steady state. And suppose, furthermore, that Vp increases exponentially. Okay? So let me show you the our new path of oscillation first, and then explain. So the rate of change of Vp is mu times Vp, right? Whereby mu sets how fast Vp increases, right? And as soon as Vp passes this bifurcation point, it enters into stable limit cycle region, and then the protein cycles. And then as soon as the protein level decreases to a certain threshold value, it sets back, Vp gets set back by a factor of sigma, and then the cycle begins again. So in this hypothesis, the period of oscillation, which is T, is only dependent on two parameters, mu and sigma, right? Mu, how fast it increases, and sigma, the factor that it sets back. And in the period in this system, I mean, all the other parameters in the system will be insensitive to the variations. So, I mean, at this point, I do not want to speculate on a molecular mechanism that might cause this translational efficiency of per-messenger RNA to vary according to these rules. Because, first of all, we want to present the basis idea, a generic picture. And later, we'll propose a possible mechanism. And notice that the mechanism for oscillation is generic, in a sense that it does not require specific assumptions about mechanisms or parameter values. We only require that the mechanism show this type of bifurcation. For some component, like translational efficiency, they might undergo this exponential growth, exponential increase, and then cycle, and then setting back. Yes?
By the logic.
Yes.
But the assumption is that these parameters mu and sigma are temperature independent.
Or they are, because from the rule of idea, right? Maybe only these two parameters are varied in the temperatures. Since there are two parameters, right, in combination of changes, they could make up a balance.
But then you're just saying that it's the same compensation mechanism, but acting not on those key parameters, but on...
But the difference lies here. For this model, the temperature sensitive parameters are only two parameters in the whole system. Even if you increase this, even if you apply this logic to a comprehensive model, which I'll talk about, which has 12 variables with 33 parameters, all the other parameters will be insensitive.
This is some kind of relaxation oscillator now, and the relaxation oscillator, the period only depends on the slope part.
So,
in any mechanism, you can imagine a limit where a period is hung up by one single slow step.
Mm-hmm.
It effectively depends not on all the kinetic constants, but on one or
so,
three or some way. We'll come back to that.
Okay.
So could you explain again?
Yes.
So Vp increases exponentially.
Right.
V passes through V threshold, at which time it's reset all the way back.
Yes.
Okay, and then what about when we come the second time we go up to the V threshold?
When you come back to here, then it'll be attracted to the stable steady state, and then?
But as it's going up, it crosses protein crosses the threshold point again, but you don't reset it.
So it only comes back, sets back, when it's on its downslope.
On its downside, right.
Yes.
So that's not exactly the rule. Okay.
Right. So with Vp as a variable, we follow the periodic oscillations of messenger RNA, protein, and VP. And if you are to follow a cycle of protein, so we start with a low low concentration of protein, it's stable steady state, and VP increases, and as it increases, as soon as it passes the bifurcation point, it goes through a cycle, and then as soon as it goes below the threshold, VP gets reset, and the cycle restarts again. So, in order to test this model for robust period of oscillation, I increased and decreased each of the parameters by a factor of 2, and then observed any changes of period or stability of the system. And as you can see from this table, the period of oscillation is constant, is unchanged by all parameter variations, except when Km is decreased from default 0.2 to 0.1. In this case, yes?
Just to clarify, you're not saying that mathematically it's unchanged if it were really zero. What you're saying is up to that precision.
What would you say? Rephrase that?
If you had more digits, presumably you would notice a change?
No.
You mean it's actually the derivative is exactly zero, period with respect to it?
Because the period is only dependent on the mu and sigma. And for this particular system that we used the sigma equals to 2, which is set back by half, of 1/2, actually.
Well, that's
what I mean. Exactly, you've got this part.
Yes, but then again, it eventually comes back to exact period.
But there must be some pathology in the particular model. It's extremely non-linear.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, I could show you the simulations, and the period exactly come back to the values that we've...
Okay. I know that some people like simulation better than improved, but, okay, please, in this case, if it is... You should be able to explain it on the blackboard.
Yes. So, I mean, here's the formula, right? So the sigma in this case is 1/2. Okay? So as soon as it goes...
So that's approximate at the time of this point.
We seem to be breaking up.
I mean, it's fairly easy, right? I mean, if...
Okay, so you have set a threshold, exponential growth to get sigma factor,
right?
A certain amount of time, you keep it fixed, everybody will stay fixed.
Right,
but
right.
But that's like a single variable growing in the same range between two thresholds, okay, doing the same thing, but that's...
Then what about this part of the period?
That's just a slave to unity. Right? So you shouldn't be looking at that.
Exactly. So
there's something.
No, I think it's sigma was reset when KP, when some protein concentration.
But the period in that.
So what?
So.
Right. I must stop you. Otherwise, I'm not going to get through the morning.
And the forest says at 2 o'clock.
Please go on.
But you're right, the period in the oscillatory region seems to affect. But because the whole period in the system is determined by this function only, that the period obeys to these two parameters. Right, so in case of this Km, right, when we decrease from 0.2 to 0.1, what happens is that per concentration never drops below the threshold value, right? So VP never gets reset, okay, for this one. So VP increases to some large value and the control system settles on a stable steady state. Okay? So on this slide, we demonstrate that our resetting hypothesis is consistent with type 0 and type 1 phase response curves, which are typically observed for circadian rhythms. For PRC, we give a pulse of light at different phase in the cycle. And the light phase affects both protein level and VP. Okay, this is important. And then we measure the phase shift caused by a pulse after many cycles of oscillation. So here we show two topological types of PRCs, type 0 and type 1, two top graphs are from experiments. This is from Pitentry, and this is from Michael Young. And the two bottom two figures are from our simulations. Yes? Yes. Yes, because with different length of pulse or different light intensity, you can create different delay, different amount of delays and advances. And there is a reasonable qualitative agreement between the model and the observations. So, and a handful of mutations are known to change the period of the endogenous circadian rhythm. And within the resetting hypothesis, such mutation must interfere somehow with mu or sigma, or they might destroy the SNCC bifurcation and force the central system into the limit cycle mode. And such mutations may retain the property of circadian it may maintain the property of temperature compensation, or they may lose it. So there are case of temperature compensated mutants, right? Where this mu and sigma will be changed, but then again, they will be insensitive to temperature variations, and they are temperature compensated. Or in case of temperature sensitive mutant, for example, like per L, this translation efficiency, not translation efficiency, but this mu and sigma would vary with temperature, or all in all, this oscillation will be pushed farther out to the limit cycle region, where the period of the oscillation is dependent on the variations of parameters. So typically, you would expect to see, as you increase the temperature, you would expect to see shorter periods. So returning to the more complete model with which I started, so I converted this into 12 ordinary differential equations with containing 33 parameters, and computed one parameter bifurcation curves based on various kinetic parameters in the diagram, just like the one parameter bifurcation that I showed you. And by this process, it was possible to map out in parameter space regions of oscillations and bistability. Yes? For TIM, the background degradations are not indicated here.
I'm sorry?
The background degradation rates?
Yes,
they are in there. It's just that too many arrows to it. Right? And so with the bifurcation analysis on the complete model, just like simple model, and the bifurcation analysis indicates the qualitatively similar behaviors between the simple model and the comprehensive model. And this makes sense because both of them contains both positive and negative feedbacks in the system. And to illustrate the similarities between the simple model and the comprehensive model, let's look at the bifurcation diagram associated with the parameter kn. This is kn, which is the rate constant for transport of per and tim complexes across the nuclear envelope. So in this figure, I plot period protein as a function of kn, the nuclear transport rate of period and timeless protein complex. And if I follow from stable steady state from large kn, I encounter this set of node bifurcations, and then half is located way up there, and then here I plot the two amplitudes from half. So within this region, there are stable limit cycle oscillations, and the oscillation ends when it comes to contact with SNCC bifurcation. So that's the oscillation. So similar resetting mechanism applies here, right? Kn decreases, and then crosses SNCC, and then goes through a cycle, picked up by this stable limit cycle, and then on the downslope of protein, it gets set back by a factor of sigma, and then the cycle restarts again. Well, yes. Yes? Where is the germ?
Jump.
Yes. You mean jump from the stable and to the
mu and sigma parameters.
Mu and sigma parameters. Okay. I believe that you would all agree with that. In a dynamical system with positive and negative feedback loops, it's easy. I mean, it's quite generic to see this hysteresis with half bifurcation, which has this sneak bifurcation, right? This is actual bifurcation diagram which I reproduced in PowerPoint. The jump, you mean the molecular basis of it, or? For this jump, it's not, right? It's just setback, like it's a rule. Of course. These are rules that must be followed. Yes. So, molecular mechanism for this, nuclear complex loses activity exponentially, right? Why? Perhaps the degradation of one component or disassembly of a complex. And then, when proteins are degraded, and the nuclear pore complex is reactivated. How? Perhaps by a temporal-directed reconstruction of active pore complexes. I mean, this is hypothesis preliminary study, but it's possible. The whole idea of this is to represent another idea for temperature compensation, a new proposal for temperature compensation, which can, suppose that this temperature compensation mechanism is embedded in the system, not by balancing the rate constant in the system. So that's the that's our hypothesis.
There is a compensation by mu and sigma here.
For example, if there's a like system of mechanism for temperature compensation embedded in the system, it could be possible to get a mutation and mutation for which actually disrupts the temperature compensation in the system, right? Otherwise, this balancing of all this rate kinetics, right? Then okay. So I'm almost done. In summary, the circadian rhythm of Drosophila melanogaster is controlled by a complex molecular mechanism consisting of both positive and negative feedback loops. Right? And a natural explanation of the basic properties of the circadian rhythm is that the control system executes spontaneous limit cycle oscillations. A major problem for the limit cycle hypothesis is to explain robust temperature compensation of the endogenous rhythm. And we're proposing a new idea for temperature compensation based on parameter resetting across a sneak bifurcation. And the resetting hypothesis is robust and generic because sneak bifurcations are commonly observed in nonlinear control systems with both positive and negative feedback loops. And almost any parameter in the model could be adapted for the role of the resetting component. And if this idea is appealing to anyone other than ourselves, then we should propose some likely molecular candidates and mechanisms for the resetting hypothesis and seek direct experimental evidence for this proposal. Thank you.